What does it take to consistently run a B2B podcast for 8 years? There are certainly some big lessons that we've learnt over 345 episodes, from why consistency beats perfection to the unexpected benefits that have nothing to do with content creation. Listen on to find out more. You're listening to the Content 10X podcast, where it's all about content repurposing. I'm Amy Woods, and I'm here to help you maximize your content and find smart ways to get your message in front of more of the right people, whilst also saving time. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the Content 10X podcast. I'm your host, Amy Woods, and this week it is a co-hosted episode with Hayley. So Hayley, welcome. How are you doing?
Well, really good. I'm absolutely loving these co-hosted episodes, and this one in particular I've been really looking forward to for a long time, so can't wait to get started.
Yes, so we hit a milestone on the Content 10X podcast recently. So we celebrated the podcast's 8th birthday, didn't we? So that's what we're going to be talking about on this episode.
Yeah, it's a mammoth. Like I'm incredibly impressed that, you know, you've got to 8 years, and also that we've got so much more planned for the future of it. So yeah, it's brilliant. And I mean, this episode, I'm going to be asking you about your kind of 8 biggest lessons from the last 8 years, which I'm so excited to go through. So I guess for anybody listening, this is going to be incredible content because, you know, especially in B2B podcasting, just discussing really what it takes to be consistent at such a pillar core piece of content for so long, and how you've managed to maintain it, and what pivots you've done. You know, anybody listening to this, really, this episode is for you. And I know we're not, as I mentioned, not looking really just at the longevity of the podcast, but really at what's changed since the shows began, the audience, how it's evolved, how the content's evolved, and so on. I mean, how does it feel? Like episodes, I think it was 345 we're recording now. How does it feel 345 episodes in? Did you think you'd get this far?
No. So I think, interestingly, you know, the origin story is that I remember when I was planning on launching the Content 10X podcast, I was really in two minds about whether to launch it as an ongoing show and be bold and say this is a weekly show without any end, you know, just this is a new weekly show, or whether to launch a season, because I felt like a season was this get out of jail free card, because, you know, you can get to kind of 10 episodes, 12, 15 and wrap up the season and then come back with a second season at some point. And it felt like, oh, if I run out of ideas beyond say 10 or 11 or 12, we can wrap up the season and then I'll have time to come up with something else. But I decided that the season thing was a bit of a cop out, really. Like I just thought, I suppose I purposefully thought, I'll put myself under some pressure, not mention the word season, and just launch it as a weekly show and see where I get to. Didn't think that I'd even have 52 ideas to make it to 1 year of a weekly podcast. So 345 episodes, it wasn't in the plan. So, you know, I can't believe it when I think that I didn't think I'd make it past a year of weekly episodes.
I mean, it just goes to show how much there is to talk about content as well, and how, you know, without sounding AI, but how evolving content has been over the last 8 years as well. Should we start off by saying, why did you choose a podcast to start? You know, what was the reason behind that?
So Content 10X was only in its infancy. I'm just thinking, if we're celebrating 8 years of the podcast in October, I only started Content 10X as a business in the May of that year. Just a little bit down the road. So in terms of why a podcast, there were a few reasons. Firstly, just before the choice of podcast, I knew that I needed to create some pillar content. So, you know, just starting out, needed to be creating some content that would be there for thought leadership. So out of nowhere, developing this business, developing this brand, and trying to position Content 10X, but in the early days as well, it was a lot more of a personal brand play too, because I was very aware that just like launching this name of a business and trying to launch a brand, you know, it was very challenging. But trying to launch more myself as a person who's positioning themselves as a world leading authority in content repurposing was what my play was. So no one was really talking about content repurposing at the time, apart from Gary Vaynerchuk, really. Like, he kind of spoke about it. But other than that, I wanted to claim that area. So I knew to claim that area, I needed to talk about it. And I knew that I needed to create content. So the content side of things was like, right, I need to create content. I need to be sharing thought leadership. I need to be known as an authority on this subject. And I need to be creating content that's going to make people trust me and therefore trust Content 10X to work with us. So content was imperative, like, got to create content. And then the podcast was a few reasons, because I was playing around with, should it just be a weekly blog post, or should it be just video content but not bother with the podcast side of things? And the podcast was because, firstly, the initial clients that we were working with at that time, we were working on their podcasts. So certainly I would say for the first year or so of Content 10X, all of our clients, it was the podcast repurposing service that they were on, or the video podcast service. So we thought it would be a great idea to empathize with them, to understand what our clients go through, like, what is it, or what does it take to be actually owning the podcast and not only providing the service of supporting it, but to actually have one. So to be able to empathize and understand our clients and our audience, of course, too. Then the other side was practice what we preach. So if we launch a podcast and we have a weekly podcast, as well as understanding what it is to go through that, we can practice what we preach. We can be the best example of how do you launch and then run and repurpose a weekly podcast. So that has always been a bit of a, I suppose, kind of key priority: practice what we preach. Don't just say it, but do it ourselves for our own content. And then also, like, finally, podcasts just seem like a no-brainer, because from the trust perspective, it seemed better than just written content, let's say, because you can hear the voice and you can, you know, like, we're trying to build trust from scratch. So putting a voice and a person to it and things like that seem like a quicker acceleration of the trust building type content, because it's heavily repurposable. So you've got different dimensions. You've got like the video and the audio, and turn that to written, turn that to visual. So it just ticked off lots of key tick boxes in terms of it being a good format as well. Although I know we're going to come on to the evolution, we did actually start it as an audio only show, but it's gone through like so many different phases of what it is over the years. But it just made sense at the time. It just made sense. We were working with podcasts, we understand how to repurpose them. And also, we chose it to be something that was like our guinea pig too, because if we have a podcast and we're showing what you can do to repurpose a podcast and practice what we preach, we can also be our own playground as well. So when we have ideas and things like that, before taking it to a client and saying we've got this new idea for something that we could do with the podcast, what a great chance to actually do it on our own podcast first and then to see how it works and experiment ourselves and then take things to the client. So It just made perfect sense.
I think that, and in particular, the two points when, you know, we always tell our clients, like, you know, people connect to people. And, you know, listening to a podcast, you get to know people, they become familiar, you get to understand the brand far more. And 100% in terms of getting under the hood of testing that platform, and definitely something that we do constantly with the podcast itself, it's been allowing us to then suggest to our clients, like, you know, this is best practice and we're seeing these results, these different formats. And I definitely think in marketing, you know, we all have great ideas, but the proof is really in the pudding, isn't it? And for this, it's a brilliant position for us to then be able to suggest new ideas, practice what you pre-preach, like you said. But yeah, it's definitely made sense for us. It's been such a brilliant piece of content. And I know consistently as well, you know, all of our followers who've been listening to the podcast for 8 years, I'm sure there's some original OGs out there. So I guess for this, you know, we definitely built you know, I know you work really hard in building that system that fuels like the repurposing. And you were so passionate about that. One thing I'd love to do though is go through like your key 8 learnings from the 8 years, obviously like one for each year. I'm sure we probably could have like about 100 learnings. And there's definitely probably some hilarious ones from behind the scenes.
Yeah, definitely.
The blooper reel of 8 interesting learnings from 8 years. But I do think it's an amazing piece of content. And, you know, obviously biased considering I'm co-hosting it, which, you know, the bias is that. But I think in the age where we're at, where it's everything that we're seeing and the constant conversation online, especially with the marketing of everything being so AI heavy. And I know your last episode was really about AI generated content versus human content in specifically the topic of personal branding. And I think, you know, this is an example of personal branding. You know, our company podcast is your personal brand too. And this episode itself, there's no really more kind of human experience than discussing your shared lived in experience from this podcast for 8 years. And it'd be great to go through kind of what's happened, you know, how it went, how you felt along the way. I'm sure that, you know, there's times where things are running smoothly and then there's times where, you know, you kind of hit those kind of mountains and you know, what you will learn and, you know, how, you know, things you might have done things differently or things, but yeah, any of the kind of key 8 learnings would be great. So should we go with the first one? What was the kind of biggest one that you can think of?
So in terms of the 8 learnings, I guess in no particular order, actually, because it was quite, like you said, I could probably come up with 100 and then actually distilling it down to 8. Well, I'd say it was quite challenging, but actually probably then looking at this list, it makes sense. So the first one I would say is that consistency is key. As I mentioned already, I was in two minds, should I say that this is a weekly show? Should I just do a season and see how it goes? But actually, I never regret and am so happy that I lent into consistency of committing. So it was a weekly show. It was weekly for, I think, like we're saying, 8 years. I think it was weekly for about 5 years or so. And then we moved to bi-weekly and we'll come on later to like the iterations of the show. But it's the opposite of random acts of content when you commit to consistency. So I think that it helps you build an audience if you're showing up consistently. In the same way, it's like in the old days of people always turning up at that day and time to watch the favorite TV show, and you know that show never let you down and you became a fan of it. I know these days we just stream on Netflix and Amazon Prime and that's almost a thing of the past, but like, you know, there's something to be said for just that consistency. It builds trust, people come to rely on you. There are also other great benefits to consistency as well as the kind of audience expectation and trying to build trust with an audience, which was that I found that it helped us to grow on platforms because the podcast wasn't just a podcast on the podcast apps, but because of the repurposing, it was helping us to not just consistently podcast, but then consistently post on Instagram, consistently post on LinkedIn, consistently get something onto YouTube, etc. And we don't create content for the algorithms, but, you know, we create content for the people. But there's no denying that, you know, you do have to consider the algorithms and they like to see consistency as well. So it was good for that. It was good for audience growth and trust and things like that, and helping you get found by SEO, because trying to build authority in a space, you know, it's a lot about the volume of quality content. So if you are committing to consistency versus these random acts of content, then you're definitely going to help yourself get found from an SEO perspective. But also, you know, these days, Gen AI as well, probably a good point to kind of mention the episode we did with Christopher Penn about AI and Gen AI search, because he very much emphasizes that it's a volume play with Gen AI. And so if you build systems and processes around consistency in the way that we did, that just helps to create, you know, the authority and the credibility, please your audience, please your algorithms, and so on. So I would say, you know, that's a key thing. But also, when you are then committing to consistency, as well as building like the systems and the processes, you have to be super organized as well. So it's like a little side tip on this, but that means that you're always having to look ahead. You should always try and make sure that you have episodes like pre-recorded versus like always like each week thinking what's going live this week. You should always be like weeks or even months ahead, especially if there's going to be things like leave within your team or leave as you as the host and holidays, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving in a few weeks and things like that. So you have to plan, and it's hard to be consistent, really hard, but I think it's worth it in the long term, and I have no regrets on just trying to keep this consistency.
I was going to say that because I would love to know, what's your biggest tip of being consistent, apart from being kind of organized and having these systems in place? Because I think we can all be organized and we can have those systems in place. But I think sometimes people, especially with content, people expect to see those results quite quickly. And especially with content, it's a slow burn form of marketing. We know it takes months to see results. And sometimes I think people can get dissuaded, or, you know, feel like something's not working and almost give up before, you know, they've really kind of hit it. So how did you manage to kind of keep things going for so long in terms of that, building that consistency? Do you have any kind of personal tips?
Oh yeah, and you are absolutely right in terms of having the faith as well, like when it, you know, the consistency builds up before you start seeing real results. I think it comes down to being really, really organized, I suppose. So really planning things in advance, like, you know, always having the next 10 or 15 or so topics that you've planned in advance, and just getting really ahead. And then if you are leaning into consistency and you do have a process that you go through to, say, repurpose those podcast episodes and things like that, writing out like the SOPs and the processes so that you can follow the same thing with every episode. So it comes under the organization, but in the good old days we used to use Trello. These days we use ClickUp. But like documenting the process in an SOP and then having things like a Trello card or a ClickUp card, I just think that it keeps you more organized. So you sort of organize in terms of planning the topics and the strategic side of things, and what do we want to cover and where does that fit in, and then organize in terms of the actual like weekly or bi-weekly or whatever process it is. So I think it's that. And then also, I guess, like having buy-in from everybody who's involved so that you all keep each other fired up to maintain the consistency as well. So I remember when we first started, we were all so passionate about it being weekly. No one would even allow like us to miss the week of Christmas week or anything. Even if someone muttered, do you think we should just have Christmas week off or whatever? It was like, no, we can't. We'll lose our consistency. We were so like kind of passionate about that.
And I don't freak, isn't it?
Yeah, it's literally the same. Yeah, we can't. And I'll tell you what, not that it's a bad thing. It was the right thing to do. But when we moved it to bi-weekly, like I said, I wish I'd remembered before we started recording, but I think it was about 4.5 or 5 years or so of weekly before we moved to bi-weekly, and it was the right thing to do. It was just kind of slightly different approach, and no regrets on that. But it wasn't an easy decision. There was this part of me that felt like I was just letting the whole thing down by finally going to bi-weekly, and that was silly. Like, it's about your audience and quality and what makes sense for you and your team. So it's the right thing to do. But I guess because we'd been so passionate about maintaining that schedule, that it felt like a bit of a tough one to come to terms with. But yeah, I do just think it's the organization and then accountability as well. Like, if you're working in a team, keeping each other accountable to the schedule, so it's not just one person that is like kind of way like flying the flag of consistency and everyone else is like a bit sort of, oh God. But yeah, like if you're not organized, like, you know, clients we've worked with that maybe haven't stayed that consistent and have maybe even over the years only done so long on the podcast and stopped, usually the reason has been because they just haven't been able to keep up, and then it's just caught up with them in the end, and they've had to to call things, but if they were working maybe a month or 2 months ahead of episodes all the time, they would be fine. And we see that, don't we, Hayley, with our clients?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think with all of our clients, every single client who is organized and has everything kind of in the bank, the consistency is far easier for them. And also I think as well, because we are always doing our episodes with a repurposing plan in mind, and something that we do for all of our clients, it really helps with any kind of discouragement on results too, because we're always then so mindful that, you know, some of our episodes might have lower numbers than a previous one, because it's great to understand what's working with our listeners and what's not working, but also being mindful as well as actually, because all of our assets are repurposed, you know, people are still seeing on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on YouTube, on our blog, on our emails, you know, it's not just a single touch point. It's great that we've got this long format, but actually it's allowing us to have those huge, like the huge amount of different touch points with our audience as well through the different formats. So I guess this leads into the second kind of key takeaway, really. So what would be your second one?
In fact, the second one is almost what you just said, basically. So it's the repurposing side, as you mentioned. So my second one is that the repurposing is essential. It's really important to have a strategy and a plan for repurposing, because it's never just a podcast, as you said, and especially in B2B, you know, we work in B2B and most of our clients are B2B. We're not trying to be Stephen Bartlett, Mel Robbins, like Joe Rogan. That's not the point. It's not about all the downloads and things like that. They're nice, but it's about more than that. So I feel that repurposing keeps you in the game, because there's no way that we'd have been publishing this podcast for the past 8 years straight if we hadn't been doing the repurposing as well. And actually, like you were saying, you know, if there was ever a week where we were thinking of skipping it or anything like that, you know, I'd quite happily occasionally maybe skip the podcast if it was just a podcast. Okay, so 1 week, it's not going to go out on Apple and Spotify. But when you thought of the bigger picture of, oh, but actually that would mean that week we wouldn't have a new blog post, we wouldn't have the social content that we create from it. And then you added all the repurposing too. It was more of a bigger deal if you were to ever decide to skip. So repurposing kept us in the game. But also it's about repurposing with intent as well, like, you know, versus the checkbox marketing, and making sure that the content that you create, the repurposed content, has a good intention behind it and there's a reason for it and things like that, which takes time. And, you know, it's a lot of work, but content is a lot of work, like quality content is a lot of work. And it's more, I guess, having more of a system where the pillar content, you put all the thought and the research and everything into the bigger piece and then do the repurposing. Well, that actually is more streamlined than just constantly coming up with a different idea for every platform, for every single post that you create. So I think the repurposing is the second one, really. I mean, it's kind of obvious with what we do as a business that I would include repurposing, but we've kind of evolved from making sure, like when we went from weekly to bi-weekly, you know, a big thing for that for us really was that we decided to just do more with less as well. So if we do a podcast every 2 weeks instead of every week, we can find more intentional, high quality ways to repurpose each individual episode, so the additional platforms don't suffer for it. And it allows us to focus on more higher quality from the core piece, and then the quality repurposing comes after. And then it allows us also to make sure that the repurposing is platform specific too, and not trying to cover off, you know, one approach for every platform, but actually a different approach for each one too. So yeah, like number two, without a doubt, repurposing is just completely essential.
Oh, I absolutely love it. And I couldn't agree more with the checkbox repurposing as well, because I know, you know, with our podcast and our clients as well, you know, there might be an episode where we listen to and there's so many things where it's nuance led, isn't it? It's kind of, actually, this episode, the guest was insanely strong on camera, like, you know, magnetic as such, that you want to have as many social clips as possible with them, because you know, they just come across so well on camera. And then other episodes, it might be actually this was incredibly informative and educational. So we're going to pivot into doing far more carousel-led
posts. Yeah.
So yeah, I love that. What would be your number three?
Number three is be patient. So it's a long game. So your first version won't be perfect, but it's all about improving. And it's like, sounds like so cliche, like in a talking Instagram post, but you can't improve what you don't start. So you start somewhere, first version won't be perfect, be patient, and you can keep improving. And also, from what I just said in terms of the repurposing, you do need to be patient, because any form of content marketing does take its time to get traction. It's not, you know, a quick win of just putting paid money onto like a LinkedIn sponsored ad or something like that. It takes time. But with the patience, if you incorporate the repurposing, you can get short-term gains with your social content, whilst you may be waiting for the longer-term gains of some of the other aspects of the podcast and the longer-form content, the SEO aspects, the brand awareness, the trust, the authority, and the opportunities that come. You have to be patient with all that. But thankfully, with the repurposing, you can build in some of that short-term gains, so that it's not all a long-term waiting and being patient. But it's not for anyone. You know, if you have a marketing budget and you literally just want to pile money at something and get quick wins, then it's probably not a podcast then, is it? It's probably some other form of paid advertising, but you don't then get all of the other benefits of content marketing from it.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think as well that it's such a difference between clickbait content, you know, reminding and, you know, in I think we can all agree that within the podcast space, there's a lot of clickbait content marketing.
Yeah.
That we can be like, oh, actually, that episode was really interesting because I was drawn in by this. But would you go back to that episode again? Is probably no. And in B2B, it's a slow partnership and trust building. So yeah, I completely agree that that's definitely, you know, it's so important.
Hey, just a little break from this week's episode to let you know about becoming a Content 10X Insider. If you want more content repurposing tips and advice, then why not join hundreds of business owners, marketers, and content creators who get them delivered straight to their inbox once a week by subscribing to the Content 10X newsletter. As well as tips and advice, you get industry updates, inspiring stories, exclusive content, offers, and more. You can subscribe at content10x.com/newsletter, and there's a link in the show notes too. Okay, back to this week's episode.
What about takeaway number four?
Yeah, so number four, I think before I was saying that a podcast is never just a podcast when I was talking about the repurposing into other content, but also a podcast is never just content as well. So when we've been doing the practicing as we preach and the repurposing and getting content to the blog and YouTube and social and email, it's also been beneficial beyond content as well. So some of the areas are building relationships. Now, building relationships through some of the guests that we've had on the podcast over time. It's not solely a guest show, but we've had many guests over the years, and it's been good for building relationships with guests. It's also been good for providing, I guess, kind of opportunities for me to then guest on other podcasts as well, because when you have a podcast and you're interviewing people and people are listening, it often results in you being invited to go onto other people's podcasts as well. I guess people hear you talking about your topic passionately and they see that you're an expert, and then they think, oh, we'll invite that person onto our podcast, which may not happen if you didn't have a podcast to begin with. And then there's the relationships and the doors that open through kind of guesting on podcasts and being an expert on webinars or things like that. And also going beyond that too, you know, I've spoken at quite a lot of events over the years, and I'm confident that many of those opportunities came my way through the podcast as well, because when people are choosing a speaker lineup and they're getting in touch with people to speak, they would have seen that I have this podcast on content repurposing. I'm no doubt I have no doubt that they probably would have listened to some episodes. Is she articulate? How does she communicate? Things like that. And then approach and say, you know, would you like to come and speak at the event? So, you know, that there's the doors that open through having a podcast. It's also been absolutely fantastic for research as well. So every topic, you know, we focus on quality. So there can be so much work that can go into the topics that we cover. Even the 10-minute solo episodes, I can honestly have spent sometimes 8 hours or so of research into what I'm going to cover and looking things up and speaking to people and things like that before then getting down to writing that script. But there's research that goes into it, and that's learning, and that's, so it kind of doubles up as L&D as well, and the research to understand our clients and our audience more as well. So, you know, not just the topic, but understanding our clients and understanding our audience. So it helps you to kind of refine your thinking, so that, you know, there's a lot more than the content that comes out of it. And some bigger projects too. You know, I wrote the book a few years after I'd been doing the podcast, and some of the fuel that went into the book was the 100 or so podcast episodes and blog posts and all the research that I'd done into all of that, that allowed me to do the book. I wouldn't have been able to do the book if I hadn't been doing the podcast and things like that, and keynotes that came off the topics of the podcast. So it's not just a podcast, but it's not just content as well. It's so much more.
It really is. And I think we always say that as well, is don't forget about repurposing. It's not long form to short form. It's always long form to short form to longer form. So as well, to be mindful, if you're thinking about doing a podcast, actually, what's that longer form piece of content that you could potentially do? Because that would shape the whole podcast as well. But yeah, no, great takeaway. What about number five?
So number five is don't be afraid to change things. In fact, you must change things. Like, you know, things need to evolve, things need to change. So don't be afraid of that, lean into it. So through the time of the podcast, we've had different formats. It was initially solo only. My whole thing was that I wanted people to have these short, really actionable episodes. Everyone just really laser focused on something, and you come away having invested 10, 12 minutes of your time with a really great tip, practical advice, things like that. So it started off as that kind of premise, solo short episode, but then started to invite some guests. So then we started to have the guest episode as well, which has been great. But I've always been really keen to make sure that it's not just another podcast where it is just a different guest every week, and that the guests are just kind of occasional as and when there's a real expert that we want to invite onto the show. We've been doing our co-hosting, haven't we, Hayley? So that's something we've introduced this year, actually. And that's been fantastic. So like, that's another evolution of the show, trying to share those engaging conversations and things that we talk about behind the scenes at Content 10X too. So we've had different formats. We've played around over the years with audio only and then doing video first as well. And I guess at the moment we're kind of a little bit of a mix, aren't we? If we do these co-hosted or guest episodes, we get on the video. If it's a solo episode, I tend to do that audio only. But just not being afraid to mix up the format and to try things and test things as well. So we've changed from solo, guest co-host, audio only, and video first. I mentioned already about the consistency, weekly to bi-weekly. We've had series on the show over the years where I've kind of lent into something for maybe 5-6 episodes in a row, kind of breaking down a really big topic into different episodes and had series and things like that. So that, you know, the content and the way that we've delivered, it's always been about maximizing and getting the most from your content, but we've played around with different ways of creating that content. So change, evolution is a really good thing. And we've had rebrands as well in terms of the look and feel over the years of the show, and things like changing the intro music and things, which you would expect anyone to do, I guess, for that amount of time. But I would say one thing is that I've always wanted to make sure that we're not just another marketing podcast. So I've always tried to stick to the promise of it being focused on maximizing and repurposing and distributing content. But obviously through that, sometimes we go like a little bit wider with the conversations as you would expect, but still trying to stay niche in there because there are a lot of marketing podcasts out there. So that's always been something that's made us different. So kind of trying to keep that difference, but whilst experimenting over the years with different types of content formats and aesthetics as well.
I think there's something that I've always been incredibly impressed since I've been working here with you, is that to see you in the kind of leadership position that you're in, being willing to change and try different things and try something new, and just constantly be evolving. And, you know, I think sometimes it can be hard when it's your baby.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the biggest lesson, is actually like being playful and trying different things and different formats. And we still do those different formats. You know, your solo episodes might be 10 or 12 minute longs, and then the deeper dives are much longer. But it's been fantastic to see. So what about number six?
So I'd say number six, quality. So maintaining quality standards and making sure that the content stays of a high quality and has substance to it above all else. So making sure that you are focused on your audience. We've spoken about repurposing and changing that up and changing up your format like we were just discussing. But I think just building on from that, whatever you do, as long as you keep the content to a high quality and as long as you're always thinking about your audience and making sure that there is substance to each episode and what you're creating. If you've got episodes that are slightly lower production quality, but they've got that substance and they are high quality, it will still outperform polished episodes that just, you know, don't really have that, like a lack in that, something unique, something different, the research, things like that. So that would be my next one, that whilst you're doing all that experimenting and changing things like that, whatever you do, like, don't let the quality standards drop down, which is probably why we went to weekly to bi-weekly as well, because we wanted to make sure that we were keeping the quality high and we didn't feel comfortable, I guess, just continuing on that weekly. Things were getting really busy with the clients and things like that. And it was far better to keep our quality core value within what we were doing as the top thing, meaning let's just do more with less than to try and end up on a hamster wheel where eventually there's going to be some sort of quality dip. We're just going to start putting something out just because we need to. And actually, like, let's just make sure that we don't forget about quality, because it affects everything. The repurposed content won't be as good. You know, like, your loyal audience that have been with you for ages will just start to notice it, as we all do when, you know, our favorite TV shows start to dip, and then you're like, oh, I liked it till season 5, but then season 6 onward, they, you know, I went, I don't want to be that. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are people who've been listening from the start. I hope there is. If you have been, thank you so much. And then there'll always be people who leave you and new people who join. That's just the way anything goes, of course. But I do think your audience will notice, because I do. Like, this podcast I used to like listen to all the time, and something started to go a little bit off and content fell a bit forced and the quality standards dropped, and so I dropped off too, and I don't want that to happen. So I think that's just a really key thing. And then therefore, don't be afraid to change things, don't be afraid to mix things up, even if that means don't be afraid to take a little bit of a break, because if you feel your quality's dropping, you shouldn't be putting that content out, in my opinion.
And so true. And that, you know, that's the whole point of having repurposed episodes as well. You know, if you've got a bank of previous content that's great, you can, yeah, you're definitely pushing those out. I did laugh at the point of different my favorite shows, because I know there's so many favorite shows where we're like, they changed the writers on season 4 and it just wasn't good enough.
Yeah, so true, isn't it? Like, don't get me started on Ted Lasso, because everyone goes on about that, but like, something happened there and I just couldn't watch it anymore. And it is, that goes to show how hard it is though, isn't it? But when you've got so far, so many seasons in, if it is like a TV series and people have come with you that far, sometimes when they drop, you'll say, won't you? So that series went off at season something, and that's when they should have wrapped it up, but they went with the money and they just pumped out a final three seasons that were rubbish. And then you all know it and you all talk about it, don't you? And I'd hate to ever be that, the B2B podcast version of that, basically.
Exactly. So, so true. So what about takeaway seven?
Well, takeaway seven is it takes a team. So behind every episode is the fantastic team at Content and Eggs. Obviously, you included Hayley and you're really helping to lead what's going on in the back end of everything that goes on. So, you know, you and your team and the editing and the planning and the writing and the design and things like that. So it takes a team. My, you know, stepping outside of Content 10X and just like general tips and advice is invest in support and in specialists. So either invest in house, if you are like launching and running a podcast, or work with experts. So a little bit of a plug here for Content 10X, but you know, this is what we do and we work with our clients. As I mentioned, that's why we wanted to learn things for ourselves to help our clients. But working with an agency like us at Content 10X, where, for example, you can just do your recording and leave everything else, all of the repurposing and the distribution, everything to experts. Otherwise, if you want to work in-house, then making sure you invest in that support too. But whatever it is, you know, it does take a team, and there are different specialisms. It's not just hire one person and they'll be able to write your show notes and write your social copy, but also design your graphics and also do your editing and, you know, audio production and things like that. That isn't one person. That's different skill sets. So you need to make an investment in that. And then also, you know, just in the project management and the processes and the tools as well. So that's a separate investment, looking at what tools to use for your editing workflow or your design or your project management, and making sure that you're keeping up to date with that as well. Like, do you have the right people in the right roles? Are you using the right tools and following the right processes? And this all takes a team. So I think that is just another thing as well. It's not easy, and it takes multiple people to really make it work, but it's worth the investment.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we're really lucky we've got such an amazing team. We really, really do. So finally, the last takeaway, what would be your number eight from 8 years?
I think I've already touched on this, but it can be part of your personal development as well. So without question, I would say that hosting a podcast has made me a better communicator, a better interviewer, a storyteller. You know, you get more articulate in making points and showing up as a leader. So I think it can play a really good role in your own personal development. I said this already when I was saying that it can also double up as research too, but it forces me to constantly learn new things and lean into new things and make sure that if I'm going to talk about something, I actually put some time into learning about that first so I can feel confident when I talk about it. So it helps shape your thinking and it helps with your L&D. So just from more of a personal perspective, if you're thinking about hosting and being the host of a podcast or being behind the scenes, but in the planning and the development of a podcast, it just keeps you on your toes and it keeps you learning. It could literally just form your L&D plan, basically. So yeah, there's that as well. That not last but not least, but it helps in those other ways too.
I mean, it really does. I mean, I can say for me, just even being a co-host on this, it's been just such a personal growth. And I think definitely anybody who's listening who, you know, might be thinking about having a co-host as a team member, give them the opportunity. I've been always incredibly grateful that Amy's given me this opportunity. It's been an incredible learning curve and great personal development. And I agree with every single point that you've made there in terms of being able to articulate and showing up and being able to tell that story and understanding, you know, especially when you've recorded the episode, what worked and what didn't work and what you would do next time. But 8 from 8 years though, that's, you know, I mean, gosh, like in a couple of years time, I'm going to be doing 10 from 10.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you should say this because I was looking at the blog and we did do at the fifth year, we did 5 lessons from 5 years. And I was looking at what they were and thinking, have we done this every year? We haven't done it every year. But the lessons didn't change that much. But obviously 8 from 8, we've added a few more. So yeah, I'm looking forward to many more years to come.
Definitely. Yeah. Lots and lots of years. It's funny because I think when you spoke about starting it, not really knowing if you're going to have enough to talk about, I think we've got to a point now where we've got so much to talk about that I think I know in our planning sessions where we're like, we've got this great idea. And it's like, okay, no, we're going to split that into 2 or 3 episodes because actually we need to be really laser focused on those things. So yeah, it's amazing when the ball rolls that it keeps on going.
Yeah, I think, and that comes to knowing your audience, doesn't it? And our audience definitely has evolved over time. So, you know, as the audience has evolved and we've evolved in terms of the topics and things like that, but you're right, you know, if anything, we kind of have to rein ourselves in, don't we? Rather than kind of, we're not scratching our heads saying, what are we going to talk about? But I guess that is just the world of content marketing and B2B. So yeah, you know, probably I've said it at the start, but thank you to everyone who has listened to this podcast, whether you're new, this is your first episode, or whether you've been here from the start. Thank you, you know, to everybody. Thanks to everyone who has been a guest as well and consumed the content from the show in other ways as well. So not just a podcast, as we said. So, you know, thank you to everyone. And we've got a lot planned for the Content 10X podcast. As we were just saying, we're not short of ideas. We can only work on making it stronger and better. We've got more series where we're going to dig deep into topics. We'll continue with guests. It's not a main focus, the guests, but when we have topics and we know there's an expert out there that's going to bring lots of value to the show, we'll absolutely invite those guests on. Otherwise, we'll continue focusing with solo episodes, but also these co-hosted episodes. Hayley and I have been plotting and planning a strategy series. I've mentioned it a few times, but we're really looking forward to that. And that's going to be excellent. And we're going to be kicking off the new year with that, which will be fantastic. So if you have any ideas though on what you'd like us to cover on the Content 10X podcast, I know we said we're never short of ideas, but please do let us know, because perhaps we're just considering something, and then with some feedback we'll actually make sure that we prioritize that. And I also feel that I should mention, I've mentioned it before, but separately, if you want to start a podcast, if this has inspired you, then please do get in touch, because that is what we do. We work with businesses to help them launch and repurpose and maximize podcasts. That's not all that we do. So if you have a podcast already, then we'd be happy to support you with that on an ongoing basis. We also work with webinars and white papers and reports and other forms of thought leadership B2B content. But it seems, since the episode is about podcasting, I should specifically shout out that B2B podcasting is definitely something we can help you with. So content10x.com/inquiry if you want to have a chat with Hayley or I about podcasts or content support.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Amy. I've absolutely loved that episode, and I hope everybody listening has done as well.
Yep, thank you. And we'll catch you in the next one.
Catch you then. Bye.